Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, how are we doing this week?
You know, I think pretty darn well. A little off time before we rev up for, I think this might be one of the first playoff appearances for Penn State, Jim.
Huh. I think it is. And it might also be the first playoff game at Beaver Stadium. How about that, Jeff?
Go figure.
By the way, just using that as my segue, if you are still looking for accommodations, and I hear, Jeff, pricing has gotten crazy for hotels in State College for the game.
Yes, it is a little out of control. And when I say a little, I mean wildly, a lot.
Well, if you're still looking for a place to stay and don't want to go crazy spending money, I got an answer for you. GoPSURV.com. They are not gouging. They are not raising their prices for the playoffs. They are going to be available. This is where they have the RV set up and ready for you. You just need to drive your car up and you could spend the weekend at the RV. That's all ready for you. Check it out. You could go to their website, GoPSURV.com, or call 800-519-8467. Mark and his crew will take very good care of you. All right, Jeff, let's start there. Let's start with this, a playoff game in Happy Valley, Beaver Stadium, for losing the conference championship game. This is not a bad consolation prize.
No, indeed. And I think it was one of the things that we talked about leading into that Big Ten championship game is it really was a no-lose situation for Penn State. And actually, I think in a bunch of different ways with the way that game played out, I think it could end up being a real benefit for Penn State. One is I think this team now knows that it is capable of winning a national title. I know they lost the game, but I also think they think Oregon is rightfully one of the clearly legitimate contenders for the national title this year. And I think they come off the field feeling like they're right there toe-to-toe with them. So I think from a confidence standpoint, despite the loss, it was a good game in that regard. And then, yeah, your consolation prize is you get to host one of the first four games on an on-campus site in college football playoff history, which is a pretty cool opportunity, and add into it that you're going to be bringing up a team from down south. That works out pretty well. And then throw in that one of the teams with the longest odds to advance in the playoffs, Boise State, would be your potential quarterfinal matchup. So, yeah, I think it worked out just fine for Penn State at the end of the day.
It really did. And we're going to get to those matchups a little bit later in the show, Jeff. But let's stick with first the game against Oregon. I know it's almost a week ago now, but this is my first chance to talk to you about it. How fearful were you when they were down 28-10? Oregon was just going up and down the field. The one thing I think Penn State could not afford was to get blown out of this game.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I didn't have any concerns, but Tom Allen has consistently made halftime adjustments, and I was kind of banking on that. I'm not sure that really played out to the degree that I thought it might, or was hoping at least it might. But I think, Penn State did a reasonably good job of kind of settling down. I think, again, the really encouraging thing is the way the offense did respond and, got some plays from some different guys in some different moments. So, we said going in, I thought no matter what your result, you'd be able to spin it as a positive. But I think Penn State can very legitimately spin that game and the performance as a positive in terms of, hey, this is what the future could hold if we just go out and take care of business and make some, you know, I think really fairly minor adjustments if and when the two teams meet again or for other similar matchups in the playoffs now.
You brought up earlier the idea that this would be a confident team, that they could win a national championship based on that performance. And what's interesting to me is I've had some people reach out and talk about how poorly the defense played, Oregon's offense could do what they want. My question on that is, since Penn State ended up with more total yards, are Oregon fans saying the same thing about Penn State's offense?
Well, I'm sure they are, and maybe even greater concern on their end. I'd be curious, actually, to know that. But I think from Penn State's perspective, looking at Oregon, you're considering that probably the standard bearer in the Big Ten in terms of offenses, and it's one of the better offenses in the country. Again, we knew they had big-time receivers. You know, Dillon Gabriel's going to New York City for a reason. And so, and listen, they had just their line play down the stretch was terrific. So I think it's a little easier to excuse, and, you know, not to mention the KJ Winston, and you have a couple of defensive tackles that you lost here during the season. All of that plays into where I think you can, I'm not going to say excuse the 45 points given up, but it's, to me, that's not as bad as if I'm looking at it from Oregon's perspective. Again, this is a defense that we thought, too, was elite. And, you know, Penn State's offense, while a couple of dynamic running backs, I think from Oregon's perspective, probably they're not looking at that as one of the vaunted offenses in the country. And I would think, yeah, they're at the very least disappointed with the defensive performance in that Big Ten championship game.
Well, you talk about the dynamic running backs. It was nice to see the running game perform the way they did, Jeff. It's been at least a few weeks since we've seen that kind of performance, if at all, this season. Was that more about the running backs, or was that more about the offensive line?
I think it had a lot to do with both, Jim. I do think a healthy Nicholas Singleton, and I don't know, you know, again, we've talked about this before. Is he 70%? Is he 93%? Is he, I don't know. He looked darn close to 100%, if not 100% on that one. And I think a healthy Nicholas Singleton is a difference maker on this team. And I'll tell you, Catron Allen ran hard and brought a lot of energy to that offense as well. But yeah, Jim, to me, the biggest surprise for me, and I thought Penn State had a chance physically to match up with Oregon, but they really controlled Oregon. And that to me was a surprise, because I do think that is a good defensive line. And you know, I think really encouraging for Penn State as it heads into the playoffs was the play of Nolan Rucci. If you go back and look at his game, Jim, he more than held his own against, again, elite defensive end here for Oregon. So I think a lot of positives for Penn State to take away. And again, I think it was the combination, but it was a physical offensive line, and it was running backs that were running with a lot of energy behind that O-line.
I'm with you about Nolan Rucci. With Donka going out, that was a great concern of mine. You know, the interior of the line, you feel like you could plug and play pretty easily. When you're talking about the tackle position, you make a mistake there, Jeff, and it can be disastrous. So I thought he played exceptionally well. That was great to see. I did want to ask you about a couple of the calls that were made. Penn State's not the officials. Okay, that's a whole nother discussion. But I got a kind of a topic of discussion. First of all, was the going for two when you really didn't need to. You could have kicked the extra point and been you go for the tie eventually. And the other one was, I had some people reach out to me and say they were really upset with the second and one call throwing deep in that last possession. Take your pick which one you want to talk about.
Well, I'll start with the second and one and throwing deep. That bothered me. The result bothered me a lot, but the call itself didn't bother me at all because it looked like you had one-on-one coverage out there. And I think with the way that offense had heated up, that the passing game had heated up in the second half, and the way you're controlling the line of scrimmage, again, you're throwing that with the idea, hey, if we don't get it, we have a quarterback who's going to throw it away. And again, I understand how it played out, and this isn't how it played out. I'm telling you what I think the thinking was, all right, worst case scenario, we have an incomplete pass. But we take a shot here, put a little more pressure on the Oregon defense. Best case scenario, obviously, you get a big play and you're riding high, trying to go in to potentially tie the game. But I think with the way they had controlled the line of scrimmage, they felt very good coming back that, hey, third and one, I mean, we're getting 10 yards a pop from Singleton. We can get a couple of yards here when we need it. And I think probably rightfully so. Again, disastrous the way it worked out for sure, but the thought process there to me was really good. I have zero qualm with that.
I'm with you on that one. How about the going for two?
Yeah, so for me, the way I've put it is I would not have gone for two. I just don't like the idea of even potentially putting yourself in a position where you're chasing points. That being said, if your mindset is we're going to be aggressive and we're going to go for it, I think be aggressive and go for it.
I'm one who's usually the one saying go for it. That's one I wasn't crazy about, Jeff, but that's going to be the final word for quarter one. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. Getting all primed and ready for a home playoff game. That would be a week from Saturday. Excited about it. All of State College, all the fans coming in, I'm sure, are excited. But if you're still making your tailgating plans, I got some help for you. Check out Revel XP. They're the place with the big white tents. They provide the tents, the tables, get the TVs for this game, the coolers, the ice, the chairs, the tables. They set up, they do the breakdown. No hassle tailgating. Fantastic place to tailgate. So if you're looking for that, go to revelxp.com. That's revelxp.com. Or you could call 814-933-4100. A great way to tailgate. All right, Jeff, let's talk about these playoffs. First of all, I know we were always excited about the 12-team playoff. Now it's a reality. Your takeaways from what the playoff committee did in setting up the playoff?
Yeah, to be honest, I think that they got it right. The criticisms that I've seen are not with the playoff committee, but with the format and the way it was set up. But the committee didn't form the top four
the rules.
Teams, right, going to the four conference champions. So I think they got it right. And including SMU over Alabama, I think SMU's I think they were true to their word. Let me start with that, which was, hey, we're not going to penalize you for getting to the conference championship game while a team sitting at home is going to get rewarded. And they did not do that, and I think that is the right way to handle that. I'm getting to the point now where I really am getting tired of the SEC arguments about the difficulty of schedule and acting like it's not factored in. It is factored in. And again, let's also not make it out to be that Alabama just went out and scheduled three knock them out of the park non-conference opponents. Let's start with the fact that the SEC schedules four non-conference games as opposed to only three in the Big Ten. And again, one of those is a gimme that they all schedule for late in the season, which is a break that the Big Ten schools do not get. So start there. And then Alabama wants all of this credit for going to Wisconsin. That's their big out-of-conference game. They went to Wisconsin, and yeah, not their fault that Wisconsin had a bit of a down year by Wisconsin standards. I'll grant you that. But the other part of the equation that keeps getting left out here is you lost to Vanderbilt and to Oklahoma, both of whom are non-playoff teams, not even in the ballpark. And the Oklahoma game in particular, Jim, it is late in the season, and you got crushed. It wasn't like it was a close competitive game and, oh, man, Oklahoma played lights out and pulled it out. You scored 3 points against a bad Oklahoma team. Well, you don't get all kinds of credit for, well, yeah, but we went to Wisconsin and beat the Badgers on a down year. I mean, good, and yes, we'll give you some credit for that, but that doesn't just outweigh and we forget all about Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. Are you kidding me? So, no. And even the argument that, well, I mean, come on a neutral field, SMU or Alabama. Yeah, I'll take SMU. And none of us will ever know. So, you can't prove that you're right if you're in the Alabama camp. I can't prove that I'm right. But I can tell you which team was more consistently performing well this season. And it was not Alabama.
Jeff, first of all, love the passion. Agree 100%. Well, not 100%. I'm not sure you're being fair to Mercer here. I think you're showing a lot of disrespect to Mercer.
I'm not showing enough mercy to Mercer. I understand.
Real quick, because we did this once, I think, before the season. What is Mercer's nickname?
Oh, my gosh. Was it...
Jeff, I don't know myself.
Dang it.
I don't know myself, so
yeah, I'm just throwing pride it out there and remembering that stuff.
But you know, a few things with it, and I'm with you. I'm getting so tired of the SEC argument. A few things here, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. But oh my God, am I getting tired of Paul Feinbaum? His quote: "He thinks the committee made one mistake." What do you think that mistake is that he thought they made?
Well, actually, I figured he thought they made two and that the SEC should have five teams in, and Ole Miss and Alabama should be in over Indiana and SMU.
Well, obviously he thinks Alabama should be in over SMU, and the argument was exactly what you said. gee, if Alabama were to play SMU, so if you want the better team in there, well, the question I have for that, Jeff, is they always say it's better team versus deserving. I will always go for the deserving because that means you did it on the field, okay? It's not SMU's fault that Alabama did not beat Oklahoma or Vanderbilt. All they had to do, they didn't even have to win both those games, Jeff, just one of them.
Yep.
And they would have been in the playoffs. So I think the committee got that one very right. And this whole Alabama should be in there, it doesn't fly, especially with those couple losses, as you pointed out. Let's look at the rest of the rankings. Well, the one other point I'm glad you brought up was they were handcuffed by the rules that the four highest ranked conference winners. And I think, Jeff, what gets lost in this, when this system was set up, the Pac-12 still existed. Oklahoma and Texas were still in the Big 12. Obviously, Oregon and USC were in the Pac-12. Had that still existed, you would have had the first four teams would have been most likely Oregon out of the Pac-12, either Ohio State or Penn State out of the Big 10, Texas out of the Big 12, and who am I missing? The ACC team or the Southeast Conference team, Georgia. So no one would have been critical when they set up the rules, but things change since then. Times and circumstances change. I got a feeling we're going to see a change to that rule sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I kind of have mixed thoughts about it. I think you're right that we'll see the change, and I think that's fine if we want to, project who we think, at least, are the top four, the top eight teams. Again, I think at some point in the fairly near future, meaning in the next few years, we will get to a 16-team playoff and we'll have eight home teams. My preference, and I'm suspecting I'm in the minority on this, but I think conference championships still ought to matter. And maybe you don't reward the top four seeds with, the conference champions are automatically in those top four seeds. But I do think at least the top four conference champions deserve home games. And so if you want a seed, even if it's 11 or 12 seeded, Clemson in this case, I would put them in, or whoever, I guess it'd be Boise State and Arizona State this year. So Boise State is a lower ranked team outside of the top eight. If they're the fourth highest ranked conference champion, I would still have them as a 7 or an 8 seed. I think, to me, conference championships, if we're going to keep the conference championships, and if we're not, then again, the top four conference champions from the regular season, I still think there should be the reward of a home game there. But there, I don't think there's any question it's going to be reworked, and we're not going to have the situation we have this year where you have an Arizona State and a Boise State ranked as low as they are, seeded way above like an Ohio State or a Tennessee.
Yeah, I think that's – there's so much heartache about it. And the heartache isn't about those two teams, Boise State and Arizona State, getting third and fourth. I think it's more about, Penn State versus Oregon. Oregon wins the game. Yes, they get the bye, but waiting for them will be the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State, whereas for Penn State, it would be Boise State. I think that's where a lot of people are up in arms, Jeff, the way the seeding fell.
Yeah, although, and fair enough, and is it an easier path on paper for Penn State? Sure. I also do think that SMU and Boise State are not quite as bad as many, especially in the SEC, seem to be making them out to be. I think these are both really good football teams, and I don't think either of those are easy wins. I get Penn State will be a prohibitive favorite in both games, but we've seen a lot of prohibitive favorites lose college football games this season. So I don't think it's quite as preposterous as it's being made out to be. But yes, I mean, if you're looking at it, would you rather have Penn State's path or Oregon's path? Yeah, I think very few people would say they wouldn't rather have the Penn State path to the Final Four.
Yes, I'm with you on that. And I'm also with you on, I think some of those other teams deserve a little more respect. I'll be very candid. I'm not sure if I watched a Big 12 game all year outside of Colorado, but watching Arizona State play, really impressed with them. And I absolutely loved that running back, Scadaboo.
Hard not to. And yeah, and I think, again, that's going to be part of the fun of the 12-team playoffs, is seeing some of these different teams that wouldn't otherwise be in get a chance at the so-called big boys, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Jeff, when we come back, we're going to take a look at those matchups. I'm going to ask you, which game do you think is most likely to see an upset? We'll do that when we come back.
With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We are talking Penn State and the rest of the college football playoff tournament. But I tell you what, Penn State, they've got a nice setup, going to play SMU first. If they win, they hit the road against Boise State. Then they go from there. And Jeff, if you want to follow your team this year, when they hit the road, fingers crossed that they can beat SMU, you need to check out Collegiate Athletic Travel. Once the Nittany Lions hit the road in this playoffs, they are going to have some great packages so you can follow the Nittany Lions no matter where they end up going. Initially, it would be, I guess, the Fiesta Bowl. And then after that, I think the Orange Bowl, Jeff. So if you're looking to travel along with the Nittany Lions, check out athletictravel.com. That's their website for collegiate athletic travel, athletictravel.com. They are going to be coming out with information over the next few days for the plans for the trip, or you could call 814-238-4987. I had the great opportunity to travel with them last year when the Nittany Lions went down to Auburn. It was fantastic. What a great time I had. They took care of everything. If you like to be taken care of, check out athletictravel.com. All right, Jeff, I teased in the last segment that I was going to ask you this question about what would be the most likely game to see an upset in this first week. Let me line up the games for you, okay? As we all know, it's Penn State, sixth seeded against number 11 seed SMU. Texas, the number 5 seed, hosts Clemson. Notre Dame hosts Indiana. And number 8, Ohio State, hosts Tennessee. Each game has a point spread of around a touchdown, maybe a little bit more, Jeff. Do you see any upsets there?
I think there's a couple of potentials. I think at the end of the day, if you ask me to pick the outright winner, I'm probably going with the favorites in all of them. But I really think Indiana has a really good shot here with Notre Dame. I really do. First of all, the travel obviously is going to be the least for the Hoosiers of the four visiting teams. And I think there's just that chip on the shoulder there for the Indiana program. And I think that offense is legit. I think they're going to give Notre Dame some problems. So, you know, I know a lot of folks are, and especially on the four-letter network, Tennessee over Ohio State. And I won't be shocked if that one occurs. It's just, I think Ohio State is kind of sitting there fuming right now over what happened with Michigan. And I think they're hearing all of this talk about the SEC and this and that. I just think at home, that team is going to come out and be more than ready. I think Ohio State handles Tennessee at the end of the day. So I think that, to me, the Indiana-Notre Dame game would seem the most likely to produce the upset in my mind. And the next one for me is Clemson-Texas, just because it's not that I think that Clemson is a great team, but again, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I think the weather plays less into that game than any of the other three matchups. And I think the coaching matchup there is interesting. And I think the pressure here that Texas has now is maybe a little more significant than what some are recognizing or realizing, especially coming off the loss to Georgia. I think even though obviously a game that could have gone either way, I think the confidence may be shaken. And I think the uncertainty, as crazy as it sounds, with the quarterback situation, I just saw one of the national experts is predicting, hey, at halftime, they'll make the move. And you're going to see this is halftime of an upcoming game, a game that isn't started yet. Like, I think you're going to see Arch Manning in there in the second half. But I think the uncertainty around that Texas program, I'm really curious to see how Texas handles all of this. And, you know, Dabo Swinney is obviously familiar with the big stage. And I just, that game is more intriguing to me than I think it is for most people heading in.
You know, a couple things, Jeff. Tennessee, Ohio State, I think it's all about Ohio State's mindset going into that game. Are they just the beaten puppy after losing to Michigan again? Or is it, we're going to show the world that's not who we are? I feel like it could go either way, the mindset for them, Jeff.
For sure. And we've talked about it all year, Jim, with that locker room. There's a lot of talent there, but it's a lot of guys that, it's an influx of outside people that are new to Columbus, new to the Ohio State culture, meaning new this season with the transfer portal kids that they took. So are they now already starting to have an eye on the draft and kind of looking ahead and feeling like with the loss to Michigan, this thing isn't what they were hoping it would be? Or are they collectively getting together and saying, as you put it, hey, we're going to show that is not who we are in that Michigan game, and we know we can go win a national title. And to me, it really starts with Ryan Day, and even there I can see it going either way. How much pressure is Ryan Day feeling? How much is he recognizing the opportunity that's in front of him and this team and program with these playoffs? I don't know. I just, this particular game, though, I do think, and it can be tricky too, because I think the fans in Columbus are ready to turn here too. They're not happy with Ryan Day. So if they fall behind early, I think you're going to hear the Boo Birds in Columbus. But I think they are stewing, and I think they'll come out, at least in this game, with Tennessee, with a little edge to them. And I'm with you. I think it does come down to the mindset of Ohio State. I think they'll have the right mindset, at least in this first game against Tennessee at home.
You know, I'm with you also on the Indiana Notre Dame game being intriguing. The fact that it's not a team from the South having to travel up north in the same state. And our colleague, Dustin Schutte, who's from Indiana, he joked on a show earlier this week, Jeff, that the joke in Indiana is there are people, they have the reversible jacket. During the fall, they wear it on the, it's Notre Dame on the outside. Come basketball season, they reverse it, and it's an Indiana jacket. So these people are very confused with this football game, Jeff.
Where's Purdue? Where's Purdue in this equation, Jim?
Trust me, you don't want to ask Dustin that question. He's a Purdue guy. So he was calling, you know, just a quick aside here on the Purdue football. Prior to Penn State playing Notre Dame, he was all in on firing the coach. He's got to go. And I'm thinking, Dustin, that's only his second year. Isn't that a little early? Then I saw Purdue play Penn State, and it was obvious the talent difference. But Purdue was so awful, so undisciplined, things that had nothing to do with talent. It was just blown coverages and all that. The following week, I came on with Dustin and said, yep, you were right, Dustin. You got to get rid of that coach.
Oh, well. Well, so you're saying there's not a lot of reversible jackets with Ball State and Purdue in Indiana. Okay. I'm making notes.
Yes, take notes on that one. But I also think if you just took the name away, Indiana and Notre Dame, but just looked at their schedules and what they did, if you reverse the names, you would probably reverse the seedings. And I really think Indiana was shortchanged all along. And I also think, Jeff, there's something to their game against Ohio State was really the first time they were on the big stage and they weren't ready. And I think it showed in the special teams mistakes that were made. And that's what really created the blowout. I think Indiana will be much better prepared to take on Notre Dame than they were Ohio State, Jeff.
Yeah, I think experiences, right, for anybody, you know, until you experience something, it's hard to kind of know what really comes with that. And hopefully, you know, if you're a good team, you learn from that experience, you make some adjustments. I'm really curious to see how that game plays out, because I think Indiana is a very deserving team. Obviously, I think Notre Dame, since the Northern Illinois loss, has played lights out football as well. But I think this is going to be a really good game between those two programs.
Yeah, and I do too. And Jeff, I know this is the cliche, I'm just looking for good games. But I feel like I did last weekend for the conference championship games. As I mentioned earlier, that was the first time I really watched Iowa State and Arizona State. What an entertaining game to watch. And obviously, Texas, Georgia was a great game. Penn State, Oregon was a really entertaining game. So I think that's going to be the winner. I think we as fans, to get this kind of weekend of football, four games against essentially ranked teams, you couldn't ask for anything more than that.
No, I think it worked out very well for college football and really for the playoffs, and certainly for the fans of the sport. I'm with you. I think it was just a very entertaining weekend, and I think it sets up a lot of really good plot lines here for the playoffs for folks to follow.
I think so, too. Really looking forward to it. All right, Jeff, we got one more quarter left. Let's take a look at Penn State, and let's take a look at their path through this. And I'm going to ask you, Jeff, does James Franklin need to win two games for this to be a good season? I'll ask that when we come back.
With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. Jeff, do you think I'm getting better at that tease thing at the end of the segment to keep our listeners attached so they don't miss your answer to a question?
You clearly have become a professional's professional, Jim. And it is no doubt being noticed by the bigwigs all across the globe.
Well, how many years at this did it take me to get there, Jeff? So I've never been known as the really quick learner. So slowly I evolve and get there. Now the tough thing, now I'm getting so old, I can't remember what the question was at the end of the segment. But what I did ask, I asked about James Franklin, what it would take for this to be called a good season for him. It's now the national narrative. He can't win a big game. I thought they played really well against Oregon, the number one team in the country, but you're still going to get, again, he proves he can't win the big game. And I believe before the season started, when we addressed this question, it was typically had to make the playoffs. And if it were a home game, he would have to win that first game. Well, here we are, Jeff, made the playoffs, but now he's gotten such a favorable seeding. It would line up where Penn State plays SMU at home, and then they would play Boise State next. Does James Franklin need to win both those games?
I think so let's start with, is his job in any danger? No. He will be back as head coach next year. So when we talk about what he needs to do, they're in the playoffs. Even if the catastrophe happens and they lose to SMU, I don't believe he's in any danger of not returning as Penn State's coach next year. However, are the cries going to be multiplied many, many times with a lost in either of these games? And I think for a couple of reasons, Jim. One is they're going to be favored. Again, the early projection I saw was Penn State's actually going to be a greater favorite over Boise State if it beats SMU than it is even at home here with SMU. So part of this is just that the expectations, again, are that, yes, Penn State with these two opponents should be in the Final Four now. For sure they have to win this game over SMU for fans, and I think really anybody associated with the program to feel good about the season. I mean, maybe at some point, somewhere down the road, if you lose to SMU, you can put it in some kind of perspective and realize you're still in the playoffs. But, boy, that is going to be a pretty bitter pill to swallow if – you know, you get that opportunity to have a home playoff game and you lose that in a game where you're favored by over a touchdown. So, yes, for I think anybody within the program or supporting the program to truly feel good about this season, Penn State does need to get to the semifinals, needs to take care of business against SMU because it's a home game. And, you know, you're the Big Ten, SMU's the ACC, all of the things that come into play there. And then Boise State, aside from, you know, brand name and all of that, I think the Fiesta Bowl, Penn State fans rightfully just identify that's success. Penn State goes to the Fiesta Bowl, it wins. Now, Boise State will tell you the same thing. They go to the Fiesta Bowl, they win. But I do think Penn State kind of feels like that's its home away from home. And so even though it obviously is not a home game, I really do feel like Penn State fans feel like that is, again, a place where they should be winning almost regardless of opponent or situation. And because it is Boise State, and again, Penn State is very likely to be a double-digit favorite. To feel good about this season, again, in that locker room, in the fan base, I think they, at the very least, now need to get to the Final Four.
Jeff, do you remember in 1979, Penn State, Alabama, Sugar Bowl, Penn State had the ball on the goal line, Gooman over the top, they get stopped, they lose that game 14-7. Do you remember that game?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now you might ask, Jim, why are you bringing that up? Let me explain. Jeff, I agreed with everything you said, except the part where you said, well, maybe eventually they'll get over it when they lost to, if they were to lose to SMU. How long ago was that Alabama game?
Feels like it was just yesterday, Jim. Feels like it was just yesterday. What are we, 45 years removed now?
I'm no math major, but I think that's 45 years ago. Have you gotten over that yet?
No, that one is, that one did. That stuck in the craw permanently.
Well, that's my take on ever getting over it if Penn State were to lose to SMU in a home playoff game. Can't happen, Jeff. It just can't happen. It will be unforgivable. And whenever I ask you these questions, I know you started rightfully so with James Franklin is in no danger of losing his job. He's not, even if they were to lose to SMU. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's the case.
Yeah, I agree with you. But honestly, Jim, if the reason you want the home game, right? It's not just so you get that little boost to the economy. It's because you want the win. If you don't get the win, then this home playoff game just becomes a boondoggle for the entire program. And that is not what you want, Jim. You do not want a boondoggle in this postseason, I tell you.
Jeff, do you want to explain that answer to our audience? Because it was so
Jim
well
was asking
done.
Me, yes, real quickly, before we started recording this particular broadcast, Jim asked me, hey, what's the good word today? And I just threw out boondoggle, and he challenged me to use the word boondoggle, therefore, in our broadcast, and I just was waiting for the right moment. And there it was. I seized it, baby.
And you know what, Jeff? That is why you are the guy who is truly a pro's pro, to be able to do that so seamlessly, get it in there. And you know what else is impressive? You waited till the fourth quarter to do it. You were that confident in your ability. You didn't force it where it didn't belong. Kudos, Jeff. Kudos to you for that. So look, anyway, getting back on track, Penn State versus SMU, then Boise State. Jeff, and maybe this is looking at things with the blue and white glasses on, but especially after that performance against Oregon, I don't see a team in this tournament that Penn State looks at or Penn State fans should look at and say, you know what? I'm afraid for them to play that team.
I completely agree with you. And I really do think so. Let's go ahead and take it out the next step. So they get to the semifinals. You're facing one of three teams. It's either going to be Georgia, Notre Dame, or Indiana. It's a Georgia team that, yep, I, and really from Penn State's standpoint, I think what you're hoping for is Georgia, and certainly if you're a James Franklin fan, you're hoping he gets that chance against Kirby Smart and vaunted Georgia out of the SEC and capitalizes. Now, the key there is you got to win that game. Because otherwise, even with the win over SMU and Boise State, and yep, we're feeling good about the season, the big game James thing is going to forever be around his neck until you get over it. But that is an opportunity there. If it plays out that way, man, you take that off the table then if you're able to win that and get to the championship game. And then, again, to me, you're kind of playing with house money again. Obviously, you don't want to waste the opportunity because you don't know if you're ever going to get back there. But regardless of who it is that you would face in the championship, you know, at that point, you just want to close it out and finish this thing and put any detractors away permanently, because a national title does that.
And if this team gets to that point, Jeff, and this is maybe, again, me just being so excited about the 12-team playoff, we get so much extra football than we have had before. And this first one is, first of all, we had that conference championship game. Now we get a home playoff game, which is unheard of. That's exciting. Potentially another bowl game or tournament game then against Boise State. And if you get past that, you get either Georgia, Notre Dame, or Indiana. I'm okay with any of those games and would be very excited. And by the way, Notre Dame, as you pointed out, has played really well since that god-awful loss. Georgia is Georgia, but are you really afraid of facing either one of those teams? Or and throw Indiana in there also?
No, and listen, I mean, Notre Dame, I think, would just be tremendously exciting to traditional powers, some great history of matchups between those teams. Again, Kirby Smart in Georgia gives James Franklin and Penn State an opportunity to truly change that narrative of you know, the big games. And then Indiana, yeah, I mean, it's a Big Ten team. Obviously, Tom Allen, I think, has you know, knows a little bit about that Hoosiers team, and you would think that could play to Penn State's favor. So, yeah, I think no matter who it is, I'd like Penn State's chances. I really would, and I think it would be obviously a tremendous opportunity and a great game. Not just for Penn State fans to get ready for and be excited about, but I think any of those matchups would get the college football world buzzing about the potential of what could happen.
Could you imagine, Jeff, if that semifinal was Penn State, Indiana, and the other one, Oregon, Ohio State, and all
Big Ten? Paul Feinbaum's head would explode. We would see his head, I think, potentially literally explode. I've never seen anybody's head actually explode. I think we might see that.
But just to beat him to the punch, Jeff, if that were to happen, I still think there's four better teams in the Southeast Conference. All right. That is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.